The Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You are in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN, all accounted for. Brady's here, Rich is here, Artie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
I couldn't be sweller.
Yeah, you're sweller.
You're all swollen. I am swell. I mean, you ask me every day, so I try to come up with something a little different.
Swell isn't.
Are you always good? Like, do you never have a flat tire? Do you never have bad drivers in front of you? You complain about that all the time before the show, but the minute the show starts, you're always swell.
Remember the old Monty Python, always look on the bright side of life?
No, I'm not a Monty Python guy.
I'm not either. I never could understand half the things they were saying, but I remember they did that song. And that's just the glass is half full.
I got to tell you, I am craving, and usually I'm craving Chinese food or something like that. I am craving a banana split.
Do those even exist
anymore? Yeah. Three scoops of ice cream, the banana cut down the middle, one on each half on each side with three different sauces, pineapple, then caramel, and then hot fudge, and then whipped cream on top. I'm dying for one.
What? You were just in Los Angeles away from your wife and all these little ice cream places all over the place, and you decided to wait until you came back to your wife, who's telling you how much you got to lose weight to talk about banana splits.
I'm just craving one right now so bad.
Do they even have them anymore? All I remember about the banana splits was it was a Saturday morning cartoon show with lots of silly characters. Banana splits.
Where would you get a banana? I mean, you could get them with creamies, I guess.
I would think anywhere they sold creamies, there might be banana splits.
I'll bet those creamy stands are going to do some serious business this weekend.
Oh, I am just dying. I could go for two pints of Ben and Jerry's.
Well, you might just die.
Hot fudge and some whipped cream. I'm ready to go to town. I'm in an ice cream mood. I don't know what it is.
I have some in my fridge. It's the only thing I have in my fridge at home.
What kind of ice cream do you have?
Don't you put it in the freezer?
It's Fenway fudge.
Fenway fudge?
It's Fenway fudge.
Oh, from the market.
Yes, and the fudge is little, I think it's baseball gloves.
I hope it's in the freezer.
It is in the freezer.
Oh, okay, because he's at the fridge.
No, I'm sorry, I meant freezer.
Mistake of the day.
Yeah.
Rich puts ice cream in the fridge. Mistake of the day.
That would be a mistake. Oh. But that's about the only thing in there. So I've got some bologna and some mayonnaise. And
pasta.
That's about it. Except that's not in the fridge.
Yeah, it's not in the fridge.
No Cherry Garcia, none of that?
No. Not my thing.
I want a chocolate and vanilla twist on a cone. That's what I really want. I really wanted a creamy the other day when it got up to like 84. It's 54 now and you want ice cream.
You know that stuff that you put on top of your cone?
Sprinkles?
No, not the sprinkles. it's like you dip it and it becomes hard.
Oh, okay.
Cherry or hot fudge or just chocolate, I mean. Yeah. I love that stuff, too.
Well, we're right here. Yeah, Hegeman Avenue and 40th and Allen.
I may just take off next segment and run to the local. There's no ice cream place.
Or better yet, why don't they bring it to us? We're busy. Can you imagine?
There's ice cream right down the road. Rocky's in Essex is about four minutes away.
Well, about that. 4 minutes with traffic, more like 20 minutes.
On a Friday afternoon, that would be about 44 minutes.
I wouldn't make it back before the damn show ended. That's for sure. No way. So, by the way, I'm doing double duty. If everybody ever wondered, because my weekend show is so late at night that none of the, our listeners get to listen. I'm doing 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern tonight, filling in for JT. So just get the iHeartMedia app and you could listen today at 8 o'clock. Wondering if I'm really BSing or if I really do a national show and what I do there and if I'm just clowning around or something.
And
like
if somebody listens, it'll be a quarter of a billion and one.
And one, exactly. There was a couple of times I hear people from Vermont calling, so they got to be listening. On our station, people from here listening.
Do you ever have people call into the national show and from Vermont and just say anything about your local show?
I've had a couple of people call.
Matter of fact,
some of my national listeners now listen to our local show because I'll get tweets. You'll read on our Twitter that will comment on something we commented about. Oh. And it will be from like a totally different, like one was from like Oregon or something.
So we have like a quarter of 100 listeners.
Yeah, there you go. So,
Well, and Arnie's national show gave us some shout outs because last year you were gone, but we were the first show. The Huddle was the first show to have on new Cavs GM Kobe Altman right before he traded Kyrie. And Arnie played the clips from our interview on his national show.
Wow. Yeah.
So, I'm nervous. There could be a big audience here.
So we were brought up to the big time.
You know, Well, anyway, just listen to 8 o'clock tonight. You can see what I do if I have any shenanigans. Because people always ask me, do you really have another show? Do you do something? Yeah, I really do have another show. And I'll just, it's only Saturday and Sunday, but I am filling in tonight for JT the Brick. So 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. if you want to go and tune on.
Or they could listen to, you know, I don't know, this station.
Well,
no,
but we got the Sox game on. Who the hell wants to listen to the Sox? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Oh, we just stop. Just stop.
How are your Mets doing?
Dear advertisers, we love our product.
Oh, God. Well played.
He's trying to kill us. You know, he's trying to make us all unemployed.
Red Sox are tied for first. They'll be about five games out by the end of May.
I tell you, you might be right.
Yeah, that's
what
I'm afraid
of. Yankee team is ridiculous.
Like the Mets?
Yeah, what are the Mets are in third place now?
Well, they were started out 12-2, and now they're like 12-27.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah. No. What a shock. Horrible.
I wanted to carry the Mets this year,
and
too.
Now DeGrom, is he on the DL or is he getting skipped?
No, he's on the DL.
There we go.
What a bad move that would have been, huh?
Syndergaard, you're next.
All right, it's a Friday. We got Power Play, the new and exciting game, sweep of the country. We got a good prize for that, do we not, or
we
what?
Got Red Sox tickets
against...
What? We got Red Sox tickets against the A's for May 16th, so next week.
Wow.
So we got instant Red Sox tickets if you can win Power Play today.
So you could cheer for some A's because half the team is from the Vermont Lake Monsters.
Yes.
Did you dumb it down? Did you go ahead and dumb down PowerPoint?
I think I dumbed down. I did dumb down the final two questions. So if you can get through the first eight, the last two are gimmies. The last two are
last. Last week we almost had a winner right off the bat. It was all with the Star Wars thing, right?
First seven or whatever.
Yeah. So we'll get started on that early because we're giving away Red Sox tickets. You know, everybody's going to be calling up and getting ready for that. All right. Brady, tell everybody what's coming up the rest of the week and what we're going to start today.
Well, remember.
Rest of the week.
Remember, mistake.
Yeah, Friday. Yeah, there you go. What rest of the week?
Mistake of the day. If you want to get in, you can. 802-655-6672. Thanks to Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester. You can win that exclusive baseball cap and at Joann's. They help small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time. As for what's coming up today, we'll talk about how cool it is to see Drew Bledsoe reintegrated into the Boston sports media landscape. The Patriots spoke up at their mini camps. Baseball, we're going to tell you how we can fix it. I can't believe I'm going to say what I'm going to say. We'll talk Cavs and Celtics. We got Power Play. But first, Arnie, David Price says... he's got to stop playing video games.
Yeah, why, though? Because he said he doesn't think he got carpal tunnel from them. I remember talking about this a long, long time ago. It was the first time I ever saw an injury like this. Lionel Train Simmons. I remember him, the basketball player from LaSalle. Used to play in the NBA.
Yeah, sort of.
Got Nintendo thumb. I mean, that shows you how far back we got to go to Nintendo thumb and missed like 2 to 3 days on something like that. Let me explain something to you. You got to be a knucklehead to make over $200 million and then get an injury with carpal tunnel because you're playing Fortnite with a bunch of your teammates. And I know he's been playing video games for a long, long time, and I'm not nothing against video games. I don't care if you're a gamer or not. I got nothing against gamers. But when you're making $200 million, you can't put yourself at risk. There's certain things you can't do, and that's play video games for a long, 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 long time.
I was going to say, so then at that point, should he never cook because he might – cut off his finger?
No, but there's a lot of...
Should you never chop vegetables?
Funny you said that. Bob Ojeda was not allowed to cut his lawn anymore after he sliced his fingers off with an electric mower there. Let me explain something to you. You can't go ahead and put yourself in harm's way, especially when you're making 200 mil. And are you making a defense for him that he's going to miss starts and he got injured? Whatever you got injured doing, I don't care what it is, stop doing it when you're making $200 million.
He said that he didn't get hurt playing video games, but he's gonna stop playing video games so it's not a distraction. Here's what he had to say.
On a broadcast on ESPN, they kept talking about what I was going through, and then video games in the clubhouse. Like, that's the only thing I do when I get to the field. You know, I go to the field, I play video games, and I attempt to throw baseballs. That's not the case. That stinks, but I'm going to get through this. You know, this is nothing compared to what I went through last year. So I'll be ready on Saturday.
Can you remind, what did he go through last year again? I don't remember.
Elbow issue.
I know that. No, I meant like he sounds like he's going through like hell. Like we're giving him hell or something like that.
Does he come across as a tool?
Yes,
I mean,
he does.
He made a deal basically in the preseason that he wasn't going to sound that way. I mean, he's hammering on ESPN, and everybody hammers ESPN, and a lot of times it makes sense. But I don't know. He just comes across like, why do you have that microphone in my face? I don't want to talk to you.
I am totally amazed by the number of Red Sox fans that are just so done with this guy already. And, Arnie, you said the other day on Twitter that you thought he was the biggest waste of money in baseball.
Yes, sir.
The day that you were off, Rich and I disputed that and came up with a bunch of people we thought were bigger wastes of money than David Price. But a lot of people on our Facebook page have agreed with you. And I just am so beyond flabbergasted by the sentiment from Red Sox fans. I understand he's not living up to your expectations. I understand that it's frustrating. But to say that you want him cut, to say that he's the biggest, you know, the worst signing ever in the history of the franchise, I think that's extremely exaggerated.
Well, talk to Arnie on that, because that's out of his mouth.
Because of him, they're hamstrung on other moves they can make because of him and the Pedroia contract.
Oh, stop. That's not true. That's not only true.
Well, if they didn't have the Pedroia contract or the Price contract, they would have so much more flexibility into making moves or get another pitcher. It wouldn't even be funny.
They still okay, so Hanley Ramirez did the same thing then. Now, I know he's playing well this year, but if you didn't have him, you'd have the same thing.
Well, I mean, so, but if I'm going to talk about other teams and talk about their bad contracts, we could do that. But we're talking, you know, Red Sox bad contracts, so... Yeah, it is a big deal. What are you saying, that you should hamstring yourself throughout all these years, that these big contracts don't mean a thing?
No, they do mean a thing, but to call him the biggest waste in baseball is not true, and we talked about this the other day, so I won't rehash it, but when Miguel Cabrera has 8 more years left on his deal at $30 million apiece,
right,
and he can't stay on the field and he can't hit anymore, and the Tigers are going to have him until 42, potentially, I would say that's the worst deal in baseball.
It could be, but you know what? They've made their money, not all their money back, but they make a little bit, because people actually come watch him, and they'll make money off him.
Hard to watch him on the DL.
Let me tell you something. Nobody's coming to see Price pitch. Nobody. Price is an afterthought. Matter of fact, how many people are on the team? 25 are on the roster?
Yep.
I bet you not even the top 10 in jersey sales on that damn team. I bet you might not even be top 15.
Well,
that's how far down low he's an afterthought.
Well, you know
now.
What? And just like what I just said, he comes across as such a tool. Well, you know what? If he was 6-0 right now, I probably wouldn't be saying that.
No, Chris Sale doesn't talk to the media at all, and people love him.
Yeah.
I understand it.
Just go out and throw a 3-hitter. We're happy.
I understand that that's how fans work, but to say that he's the worst contract in baseball, look, I pulled up 6 contracts or so that were worse. Now, the money.
Now, wait a minute. You didn't answer, though. What did you think about Cabrera? When I said, at least they'll make money back on his name. So it's not like all the money that this
is going to... The first 3 years of the deal, he was very good. Now, the next 7 to 9, because he's got 2 options, no, it's
but
not going to be
but
worth
at least
it.
Fans like the guy. They'll go out and buy his jersey. They enjoy seeing him play. You got none of that.
He plays every day. He's not a pitcher.
No, but I'm saying...
So he plays every day. So, yes, people are going to go more often to see him than to see a pitcher of any kind.
But no. My point is, they want to see him. Whether he played once a week or once a month, they want to see him. Nobody wants to see Price. Nobody.
Yeah, but I don't think they want to see Miguel Cabrera when he's hitting .220 with no power. I mean, he's having a good year. He just can't stay healthy.
Yeah, but he's still a popular player, though, is my whole
point.
No,
I understand, and Price has never been popular here, but like I said, so much of it has had to do with the fact that he came in here and got this huge contract because he had always been good. And we talked about this a little bit last week. I said, you've got to give him at least 2 or 3 more starts. You said you've got to give him a lot more than that. Arnie said you've got to dump him.
Yeah, I would have dumped him.
Here's the other thing I don't understand. Number one, Red Sox fans should have been rooting for this guy tenfold this year. Obviously, number one, because you want him to pitch well because you want the team to do well. And number two, if you really hate him that much, he's got a player opt-out after this year. Yep. You should have rooted for him to go 20-0, having a year way above what you think he is, let him opt out to try to go get more money, and then you could be gone with that contract. You should have been rooting for him from every single angle. If you wanted him here to pitch well, then great. If you wanted to pitch so well that he opted out, then great too. You should have been rooting for him, though, and people are ready to crush him at every turn.
Well,
that's what they don't get.
Nobody wanted him to succeed more than me. I mean, how many times during the preseason do we say, what's the key to the entire Red Sox season? David Price. I mean, everybody else was going to fall into place and do what they always do. The wild card to me from 3 months before the season even started was David Price. And I kept saying, I think he's got that 15-16 win season in him. And I'm not giving up on him now. Hell, he's pitching tomorrow. He'll probably go out there and throw a 3-hitter against the Blue Jays, and we're all back and happy.
I may not remember a lot, but I remember what you told Buster. What were you using that with Porcello or somebody like that? You're like, don't you want him to go great so maybe he'll opt out?
Yeah, Price.
Let me tell you something. Price, this is how bad the contract is. Price can go 20-0, and he still won't make as much money the rest of his life career than he will with the Red Sox, even after going 20-0. Nobody will offer him the money, and that's after 20-0. That shows you how bad this damn contract is.
The John Lackey contract, I would have to think, is more frustrating to Red Sox fans. You talk about a guy who came off as a tool.
Yep.
Now, he played for some of those years. He
wasn't
always injured, but he was injured for a good portion of that deal at times. 5 years, $83 million. And what did he give you? 47-43 with a 4.5 ERA and one good playoff appearance at the end to kind of salvage everything?
Classic guy who you just never had any idea what you were getting from start to start.
The Dice K contract wasn't terrible. It was only 6 years and $52 million. That's not that egregious.
Yep.
But when you couple it with a $50 million posting fee, and after the first year, you know, he won 18 games one year, and then he had a 5.5 ERA and was injured for the next four, I would say that deal is worth the David Price.
Is 47-43 that bad? I didn't know it was that bad.
When it's $83 million dollars, and at that time that's one of the biggest deals in baseball, then yes.
And a 4.5 ERA. It's not great for that kind of money.
I mean, I don't know how you're protecting
Lackey's
Price,
a product of his contract. I mean, he signs one for half that amount, and nobody's worried about
it. How about Carl Crawford's deal? 7 for 142.
And I loved it.
That's not worse than David Price's deal?
Yeah, but wait a minute now. He didn't spend the whole seven, you know.
The Sox got lucky with Crawford.
So they're not on the hook for the whole thing there. I mean, if you want to talk about the worst deals, the first thing that comes, you didn't even have, did you have Bobby Bonilla on that list? I mean, he's still getting
paid.
He's
on the Red Sox. These are Red Sox players.
But they weren't on the hook for all of them, is what I'm saying.
Albert Bell.
Yeah, Bobby Bonilla's still getting paid now. That's crazy.
They're still paying.
Yeah.
And the other thing about Price, too, that I just... He really hasn't been that bad this year. Yeah. That's what I want people to... That's another thing that perplexes me. The game we're talking about three starts ago against Oakland, he ends up giving up four runs and 7 2/3 or whatever, but we came in here the next day crushing Cora for having David Price pitch to Chris Davis. He had gone 7 1/3, one run in that game, and he makes one pitch to Chris Davis we shouldn't have been pitching to and gives up a three-run homer, and now all of a sudden revisionist history, we're going to put that on Price, but we put it on Cora the day after?
No, we've been on Price ever since the first two games when he pitched or three games.
I mean, he went hell miserable after that. 20 scoreless innings or something?
14.
I mean, he was brilliant his first two games. I thought, well, good, there's your number two guy. And then that first inning with the Yankees happened. Do either of you guys find this strange that this all seems to happen, these weird injuries, around the time when he's supposed to pitch against the Yankees? It seems to always involve the Yankees with him.
People have said that, and he doesn't have great numbers at Yankee Stadium, but no, I don't think so. He pitched against the Yankees last year coming back from an injury and did reasonably well against them in the middle of all this elbow trauma.
Wasn't there a report that he had some other injury that was going to keep him out for a full year or something like that? I mean, this was like last week.
They thought maybe that this was related to the elbow injury he had last year, which we thought maybe could have led to Tommy John.
Yeah, I thought somebody reported that like he had another injury. I'm like, oh, that was a good report. All these insiders with these reports are just full of baloney.
Earlier today, you sent me a text saying, has Kawhi Leonard been traded to the Celtics? No, and it was a made-up Twitter account.
No, I didn't say no. But you know what, though? I put in the bottom, though, it was sent out by Peter Vesey, though, was it not?
It said it was sent by Peter Vesey.
Okay, well, I asked you, though, if Peter Vesey sent that out, I'll say it's true. If Peter Vesey didn't, that's why I sent it to you. If Peter Vesey didn't send it out,
then
I'll say it's not true.
That's like me telling you, Arnie, Adam Schefter told me Tom Brady's retiring tomorrow.
I would believe that if Adam Schefter told you, but if he was wrong, I would rip him.
Yeah, but he didn't actually say it. It's just me saying that Adam Schefter said it.
I saw an article that said they're working out a deal that's going to be announced later on this summer that Kawhi was going to come to the Celtics, right? In exchange for what? Hayward and
next year's.
Oh, I sent it to you too.
I didn't know
if that was fake because it said per Peter Vesey or something. So I'm like, well, he's a pretty much insider there. You know?
Arnie, per Rich Haskell, we need to go to break.
Okay. Well, come back. What do we got coming up next, Brady?
Drew Bledsoe is offered to be at every Celtics home game the rest of the playoffs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, actually, just against the Cavs.
We'll get to that next. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The local slant on all things sports.
We know that everybody's going to be gunning for us.
It's the huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. Remember, coming up later on, Power Play, the new and exciting game, Sweep of the Country, giving away Red Sox tickets. You like that, big boy?
But now, are these the bosses' box seats?
Oh, you bet it is. You bet it is. You already think I'm going to give up my seats for you guys?
And they're for next week, May 16th, which is Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday.
And we've got another qualifier for the ultimate. I mean, this is just crazy.
Tom Fair Tire text line if you want to get in, 802-655-6672. Like Tristan in Williston, he came up with worst contracts of all time outside the Red Sox. He said Mike Hampton, Barry Zito, Kevin Brown, Bobby Bonilla still being paid $1.19 million per year until the year 2035. Is that just incredible? Just incredible?
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
You know, I thought remember Ernie D.
Yeah, he played for the Buffalo from Providence.
I think the Celtics gave him a crazy contract where he got paid for a long, long time.
Yeah,
also,
he drafted high for, out of he played for the old Buffalo Braves out of Providence.
Yeah, yeah,
remember
yeah,
that?
Buffalo Braves, absolutely.
Yeah, Bob McAdoo.
Yeah, they had a good team at 1 year. A lot of big names on that team.
But I mean, yeah, some interesting ones there. Mike Hampton. Oh my gosh.
Oh,
what
for
a
the
mistake.
Rockies, the pitcher for the Rockies.
Oh.
Jason Worth, 7 years, 126 for the Nationals.
That was horrible.
Who was horrendous. Jacoby Ellsbury currently, I'll still maintain that one's awful.
Yep.
Wait, was Barry Zito...
Zito's was awful.
Zito was funny because he kept pitching. We were discussing this during the break. And he pitched at least 25 starts every year except one because of an injury in his San Francisco contract.
Jeez.
But he was like 7-12 every year, but they kept running him out there every fifth day.
He made starts. The best ability is available.
I think we're still missing some, because there's people that have signed big contracts.
Kevin Brown.
Oh. No, but they've been injured and never even got on the court or something like that. I think there's like one or two that were completely
Gordon
missing.
Hayward. What have they paid him for? So far, they've paid him how much for 5 minutes?
Like they had like a big injury, and I can't think of it, but I know we're missing something where somebody signed the big contract.
AJ Burnett didn't make it through. Carl Pavano, these guys didn't make it through big Yankee contracts.
Jeez.
With a ton of success. A-Rod, he still was very good for a lot of that deal, but they redid it, so he's awful for the second part of
it. Right, exactly. So it will come to me. There's somebody we're totally missing that didn't even play for their money, just like, give me the money. I'm not even...
And actually kept it and still sleeps at night.
Well, I'm going to sleep at night.
Now, I know there's been insurance on the deal, so they've gotten some of the money back, but the David Wright contract for the Mets has been pretty dreadful. It's a different situation.
But that's not a bust, because that was injury, and he was really, really good for, what, 4 year stretch, 5 year stretch?
Yeah, but was he really, really good in the life of that contract is the question, good pre-contract?
When did he sign the... See, I don't know the difference between the old... I do know this, though. He was asked to do a commercial for Vitamin Water. I forget which rapper owns it. And they said,
50 Cent.
Yeah, and they said, instead of the $100,000 you're going to pay me, I'll take like 5%. Yeah, how about that move? Huh? You like that one, huh? Is that a little crazy or what?
Good work if you can get it.
Yeah, that's for damn sure. Brady, what's going on with Drew Bledsoe? What's happening here?
Well, it's pretty cool. Drew Bledsoe and Terry Rozier have formed a friendship. We briefly discussed it yesterday, but Bledsoe was sitting courtside at the Celtic game the other day, and he's offered the Celtics to come to every home game against the Cavs if they want him to. And he's enjoyed being back in the Boston limelight again. And he spoke after the game the other day, and he talked about what it was like to be back in New England.
Coming back here to New England is it's always special. The older fans, if you will, that realized that football existed out here before 2001, you know, really appreciate, you know, what we did and the teams that I was a part of. So it's fun to come back.
It's cool to see Bledsoe, for my money. It's cool to see him reintegrated into the sports scene, because he's a guy that, look, he's forever going to be known as the guy that lost his job to Tom Brady. Right. He also lost his job to Tony Romo in Dallas.
Yeah.
So,
but is he like a Boston folklore? You know, you talk about losing your job. Don Majkowski lost it to Brett Favre also up there in Green Bay. I don't know if he's folklore, though he's answered to a trivia question.
Well, of course, the answer to another trivia question is Mo Lewis for Patriots fans. And I mean, and we always look at Mo Lewis and just literally bow down to the holy grail that is Mo Lewis. But at the other end of that Mo Lewis hit was Drew Bledsoe, who really wasn't too bad in his time for New England. He was a number one overall pick, so he was the great hope.
And they got him to a Super Bowl, four years into his career.
And people forget, in the AFC Championship game, he led them to, I think it was over the Steelers.
Yes.
And he was magnificent in that game. And then Brady just came right back and won the Super Bowl for him. But, I mean, I think there's – first of all, he's an extremely nice guy. I know I've said this 10 times in the show, but he's still to this day the best guest we've ever had. He couldn't have been a more gracious guy. He knew all the names of all of us. He made a point, went out of his way to say how great Vermont was, said all the right things, which matters. Trust me, that stuff matters to me. But I think Boston fans look at him as sort of a lovable loser, in the sense that he got sort of the shaft.
Was he Charlie Brown?
Because there he was. He had the Super Bowl was right there in his face, and boom, this guy Brady comes along, the 199th pick, and just steals the job away from him because Mo Lewis hit Bledsoe out of bounds in a game.
And what do you – it brings back some nostalgia, and I wasn't – you know, I – I'm not a Patriot fan, but when we start talking about 95 and the Patriots are starting to get better, we talk about 96 and that season they make it to the Super Bowl, those are the first years where I'm really starting to remember, you know, make memories of football. And I do remember vividly Terry Glenn and Ty Law and Curtis Martin and Ben Coates. I remember those guys on those Patriot teams. And to see Bledsoe, and because at the time I had just moved from Seattle, I knew Bledsoe went to Washington State, so I always kind of gravitated towards him just because I associated with Seattle. And you got the iconic uniforms with the giant Pat Patriot, yes. And now you see Terry Rozier walking in with that, and some of the fans are wearing it. It is pretty cool. It's a good blending of old and new for Boston, and I've enjoyed it.
When you said you went back, I thought you were going to say Grogan. That's what I was thinking about. That, because Grogan was like one of the first memorable big quarterbacks for the Patriots.
Well, Jim Plunkett for me, well, going Jim way Plunkett, back, because he was another number one pick.
He's really a Raider, though, you know what
well,
I mean?
But
he won a Super Bowl with the Raiders as a yes. wild card.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I start with Plunkett, and that goes way back, obviously. But Bledsoe is funny because, yeah, they were so bad that they ended up getting the number one draft pick, and Bledsoe comes in here, and it was, I mean, I'm looking at his, listen to his attempt numbers. This is kind of an obscure stat, but these are numbers you never see. Pass attempts as a 22-year-old quarterback, 691 in 1994, by far led the league. The next 2 years, 636, 623. And, I mean, that's what it was. Just throw the ball in every play, and I think people really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. Terry Glenn, and I'm trying to remember who else was on that team. Ben Coates and Terry Glenn are the two that really stick out. Wasn't Dave Meggett a...
Oh, yeah.
Dave Meggett for
a little while after he left the Giants.
Yeah, he was a Patriot for a little while, and Curtis Martin. And so those are the guys that I really start to gravitate towards. And then McGinnis was there, and Teddy Bruschi on the defensive side of things.
Well, those are big names.
And my favorite announcer, Scott Zolak, was the backup. But, yeah. I mean, yeah, Troy Brown was just starting
at that point.
He was, I think he was about 25. But you mentioned Dave Meggett. He was a big part of that team. Adam Vinatieri was there.
Troy
kicker.
Brown didn't win an MVP. He didn't win an MVP.
No.
What did I think?
Did he win a Super Bowl
yeah,
MVP?
Yeah, Super Bowl MVP is what I meant.
I don't know. Deion Branch won a Super Bowl
MVP. Deion Branch, that's who I'm thinking
but
about.
But the backup quarterback that year they went to the Super Bowl was Tom Tupa, who was also their punter.
Yes. And some good text in on the Town Fair Tire text line. Glenn in Moncton says Brady delivered the Super Bowls, but Bledsoe made it possible to even dream of Super Bowls. And I think that's a pretty articulate way of putting it.
Yeah.
Andrew in Fairfax. Oh, read a couple of them. So everybody's getting to these contracts too. I'm lost on everything.
Well, Andrew in Fairfax says Bledsoe had a season in which he had six receivers get 50 catches or more. So you talk about spreading the ball
Wait
around.
Wait a minute. He had six receivers that had 50 catches or more in one season?
That's what he's saying.
He had 400 completions in 1994. Yeah.
I was about to call BS on that. Six receivers with 50.
I mean, I'd have to look.
Well, he's probably going to have two of them are going to be running backs, maybe, or something like that.
We have to look.
Well, I'll tell you who they were in a second.
Maybe one or
And Kwame Brown.
Kwame Brown, the number one pick for the
Wizards.
Oh, Wizards. Yeah. Well, Michael Jordan was the one that took him.
How many did he say he had?
He had six.
Four. I see five here in that 1 year. There might have been in a different year, but I mean, you know, you got Ben Coates.
Whoever sent that in owes us a prize, then, for the mistake of the day.
But he might be right. I'm only looking at the year that Bledsoe threw, 691 passes and completed 400 of them.
Don't get us in trouble there. Oh, he said look up tight end Christian. Oh, that must be the contract. Christian Fourier.
Fourier.
I always have problems with his name.
No, it's not. He's just saying another Patriot.
Oh, there's another one that had the 50 catches or the contract?
I don't know. I mean, that's later than the Super Bowl era Bledsoe. Because Christian Fourier was playing with the Seahawks around that time.
Guys, we have so many topics going on. Brady, what's coming up next?
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I think baseball needs fixing, and I've got an idea that I never thought I'd come around to.
All right, we'll get to that next. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki.
What a series it was this week as the Red Sox took their shot at the high-flying Yankees. Don't miss Red Sox beat writer for the Boston Globe, Pete Abraham, at 10:05. It's Sports Saturday this Saturday and every Saturday from 10 to noon, only on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, wake up call, everybody. Wake up call, everybody. Let me tell you about our newest sponsors. It's Orange Theory. If you haven't heard about them, they are sweeping the country. Let me explain something to you. My mom, the reason I was in L.A., my mom had two heart attacks. She had a 96% blockage in one artery, 88% in the other artery. And it really should have killed her, to be honest with you. So my wife's like, when you get back, you're going to lose weight. You're going to get into shape.
You used your normal voice for your wife.
Well, because we're talking heart attack here, Rich. My wife's been going to Orange Theory. My son's been going to Orange Theory. My son is ripped. He's getting ready for the hockey season. My wife has lost a bunch of weight. She's in shape.
Yeah.
No, she doesn't show me her body, but the lights always have to go out. So,
That's TMI.
Yes, but I know she's in shape. I can tell by the clothes she wears. So you really got to get yourself to Orange Theory. It's time for that wake-up call. It doesn't really matter what age you are. You could be 20 years old, 18 years old, or all the way up. If you want to get into shape, you want to start feeling good about yourself, you want to start doing stuff about your heart, this is your wake-up call. We're going out to Orange Theory. Go check it on out. It's our new headquarters, our new hangout place, Orange Theory.
If you think what Arnie says on the show is irritating, you should hear him during the commercial break. It's The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady, only on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in The Huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. Remember, we got Power Play, the new and exciting game, Sweep of the Country, giving away Red Sox tickets for today's winners. So you better get in early. And you know what? Let me give you the three possible answers now. I don't want to go through 100 calls like we usually do. Last week, we didn't even get a winner, and the first guy got eight right. So the three possible answers, Horford, Kevin Love, or both. Love, Horford, or both. So there you go.
So do your research now.
Yes, do all the research right now.
Choose Love.
should be a piece of cake. Should be very, very easy. All right, Brady, why are you changing your mind on the rule changes, and why are we talking about this now? Because are things not going well for baseball or what?
Things are not going well for baseball. Right now we're at a point where there are more strikeouts than hits this season. That would be the first time, I believe, any year that that's ever happened, if that continued on. The strikeouts are at an unbelievably alarming rate, and we're at a pace now, and Jason Stark wrote this the other day, we're at the fewest hits per game since 1972.
Wow.
We are at a pace of 10,000 fewer balls put in play than even in 2009.
So you mean in this year?
Yes, this year we are on pace for 10,000 fewer balls put in play.
Yes, it's not a contact sport anymore.
Than back in 2009. And Buster Olney, he talked about, he gave us some alarming stats on Wednesday, Arnie, when you were gone. So just to start to refresh your memory here, here's what Buster said to us on Wednesday.
However, where we are in the game today, it's a concern because, in my opinion, it's not as watchable. The pitching is becoming so ridiculously dominant, it's crazy. A couple of numbers. To your point about no-hitters, think about this. In 2017, there were 24 games in which a pitcher carried a no-hitter through six innings.
Wow.
Guys, we've had this year 22 already.
Rich, you and I were talking about this. We're both starting to come around on this idea that we're going to say in a second. And it's taken me a long time and a lot of fighting back on this point. And I think it's time to come to the realization that there needs to be, in my estimation, alterations to the way the shift is used. And the shift doesn't cause every problem in baseball. The shift is not responsible for guys throwing 99 miles an hour. It's not responsible for every reliever throwing 99 miles an hour. But kind of at its base, here's what happens. Teams shift all around, and hitters say, okay, the easy answer is, well, if they're all going to play on the right side, hit it to the left side. Hitters aren't doing that. What hitters are doing is hitters are saying, if you're going to play the shift, then I'm going to try to hit it over the shift and out of the ballpark.
Right.
So I'm swinging for the fences. And when you swing for the fences, you have a higher propensity to miss. And then what do pitchers do with that? Pitchers who threw 98 miles an hour, they say, if you're going to try to hit the ball in the air, then I'm going to throw it up at your chest where it's a lot harder to hit the ball in the air. So now you're going to swing and miss even doubly as much. And there's fewer balls put in play, and the balls that are put in play are now caught. Instead of being a bat and ball contact game, it's become a swing and miss home run game. That is not healthy.
It sounds to me like you and I both arrived at this realization at about the same time.
Yeah.
For me, it was about 2 weeks ago, as I'm sitting there watching every game, the Red Sox, and this is one of the better hitting teams in baseball. They're striking out 13, 14, 15 times a game. Everybody is. I thought that was abnormal. That sounded very high. But I look across the league, everybody's striking out double-digit amounts. And there's no contact. There's no movement of the base runners. And there's nothing to cheer about right now. And I finally came around. And the thing is I call it, you know, I always talk about being a purist of the game and all, you know. There's nothing pure about a shift. This is a very recent phenomenon.
So there's two ways that they talk about altering the shift, and I don't know which one is right. Maybe it's both of them. Maybe it's one of the two. The simple answer is that you could simply say, if you play on the left side of the field, you have to remain on the left side of the field. The third baseman and the shortstop can play wherever they want on the left side of the field, but they've got to remain to the left of second base. Same thing for the first baseman and the second baseman. The other one is that people complain about is that your infielders have to be infielders. People are tired of seeing left-handed hitters in particular hit line drives to short right field that get plucked away by second basemen that are 65 feet into the outfield. So maybe it's everybody stands on their side of the field. Maybe it's the infielders have to be infielders and they can play on whatever side of the field they want to. Or maybe it's both. But something has to be done where balls in play have to have a chance at being hit.
You know, I got to say, maybe batters aren't as skilled as today's batters aren't as skilled as they were back then. And the reason I bring that up, Brady, if we were playing one-on-one and I stood under the basket, you would shoot the three-pointer and make a lot of them. If I got up in your face, you would drive around me and go to the bucket. Why, if I have three guys on the right side of the infield and one guy playing deep shortstop, why if I'm not, and by the way, Vince Coleman used to do this, why am I not just bunting it down the third baseline for a hit every time? And it's very easy to do that if you know how to bunt, because you're not putting down a bunt with them on a shortstop at a third base where you're bunting over the runner. They're giving you the bunt. They're giving it to you.
There's two reasons. Okay. One is that now the pitchers are they're all throwing extremely hard. So it is harder just to put the bat on the ball. It's easy to say from a hitting perspective, right, well, let's just slap it to left field. That's a lot harder to do when it's 98 under your chin, okay? You have to acknowledge that.
Right.
But to your point about, well, why don't you bunt? Because then a team looks at it and says, well, look, if David Ortiz is going to come to the plate and bunt for a single, then that's a win for us. And
it's better than making an out, though.
That's what the defense would take you doing that if you're David Ortiz.
Yeah, but so you just said 10,000 less balls put in play.
Right. The Red Sox will say, I'd rather have David Ortiz try to hit it over that shift and get one run and have him succeed 40 times a season than have him bunt for 40 singles.
And Ortiz was the textbook case. And really, I mean, they didn't start the shift because of him, but he was at the very beginning of it because he was so damn slow that people realized you could literally move your third baseman into right field or whoever you wanted to put out there. And by the time the ball got to him, you're not only taking away a single by grabbing it on a hop, but you can throw him out by three steps.
And the other thing that is tough, I think that the shift needs to be altered, and it's hard for me to say that as a pitcher and say, look, stand wherever you damn well please. Let's just get the outs. If the guy's going to hit it over there more often than not, then that's where we should be. That's how I have thought about this forever. But rules have been changed about where you can play defense in other sports. The NBA doesn't allow you to play zone anymore, basically, because you can't stand in the key for more than three seconds. And the reason why is so that the lane would get opened up and there would be more activity at the basket. Because why? Because fans like to see dunks and fans like to see athletic players go into the hoop. That's why that rule exists. The same can be said for baseball.
If the shift works so much, why not just do it permanently? Why isn't it just like that every play, if it works so much? Why not just have it permanently, one side or the other, and just play it like that for just because most of the guys would get on base, would they not? We're just talking about a small minority of these guys that you're putting this shift on. That's why you can't.
The extreme shift.
Right. That's why I'm not saying that. That's not the reason why there's 10,000 less balls in play.
I mean, a lot of it is a result of the pitchers being so good. And we can talk about, look, there are rules saying that there are rule proposals out there, and people say, well, every pitcher has to throw at least one full inning, or every pitcher has to throw at least two batters, and that would take out your lefty specialist. Well, the players union's not going to cut jobs away from itself, so you're not going to get a reduction in the roster. You're not going to get that kind of thing. Medically, they're not at the point where they can. You're not going to change the length of the mound to make it.
Well, I was just about to say, can you do what they did with Gibson? Right, didn't they lower the mound? Right,
they lowered the mound.
We can't do that anymore.
You can't go much low. It's like 10 inches right now. It's hard to go.
Well, they did it with him, right?
It's not healthy for your arm to throw that hard on essentially flat ground.
No, I don't think this is the answer. I think
it was
many years ago. But I this isn't going away either. I mean, minor league baseball last year, my little Connecticut time, everybody shifted. You know, it's 19, 18, 20-year-old kids, and they're all in a shift against guys they don't even know anything about.
Right,
they have virtually no scouting report. Oh, it's a lefty. Looks like he hits the ball hard. Let's send the third baseman out into right field. I mean, I really think this is going to happen, and I hope it does. I mean, it's like the zone defense gets banned in the NBA. It seemed drastic at the time. Nobody even thinks about it anymore, and it made a huge difference in the way NBA game was paced. I think it's going to be simple. The shortstop and the third baseman cannot go to the right of second base before the pitch.
And what's frustrating, too, is that, Rich, we were taught, and I coached it, hit the ball back up the middle. If you hit the ball back up the middle, you were doing a good thing. And that's if you could hit the ball right back at the pitcher, that's where you wanted to be. Now you got guys standing behind second base, and that's no longer welcome.
Oh, my gosh. In high school, if I ever had a guy standing behind second base, I almost killed about 10 pitchers in my 3 years in varsity down in Boston. I mean, that was what you did. You go with the pitch, and a lot of times when you go with the pitch as a right-hander, you end up putting it in the gut of the pitcher.
Yeah, and it's just something has to be done. That will help balls that are already hit have a better chance at falling. Then I think something has to be done about limiting the effect of the pitchers. And I can't believe I'm saying this either. I think maybe there's a case to be made for actually lessening the size of the strike zone. And that goes counterintuitive to what we've thought.
Yeah.
If you raise the strike, if you make the strike zone bigger, well, there's more strikes called, batters have to swing more often, and the game goes faster. And that's what pace of play enthusiasts have said. I think in my case, if you shrink the strike zone, these pitchers that have the advantage of throwing 98 miles an hour don't have the advantage now of having everything called a strike, and hitters can get more advantageous counts, and they have a better chance of hitting the ball and putting it in play. I think that's possible.
So how do you think my idea is something as simple as just not allowing the shortstop and the third baseman to the right of second base is going to happen?
I think it's possible. I think what we talked about at the beginning of the segment, it's possible where your infielders can stand where they want. They just all have to be infielders so that you don't have that deep second baseman. If you want to play...
Yeah, see, I don't like that.
So
that's a shift. If you put all four of your infielders to the right of the second base bag, it's a massive shift.
Yes, but think of those line drives that David Ortiz hit to short right field that were gobbled up by a second baseman. If that guy's not there anymore and he's actually standing in the infield, then those become hits again. I can make a case for either or both, but I think they're both on the table.
I don't think it's drastic enough. I think you've got to do it so you're just forcing the two left side infielders to not go to the right side.
The next change is one that you guys didn't bring up, but Glenn and Monkton brought up. He says, how about... removing calling balls and strikes from the umpire and using the strike zone on TV, which I think is going to be the next major move in baseball. Not sure how it's going to work if you can get it that fast.
Tell you what, that happens, and E-Rod wouldn't have had 8 or 9 strikeouts in that Yankee game last night.
I don't know if that's better, though.
I don't want to lose the human element, human element of the game. I don't want to go that far. But I think that, as I have said all along, to me, baseball's issue is not pace of play. It is lack of action. If you told me the game would be 3 hours and 12 minutes every day, but it is going to be 7-5, and there's 7 strikeouts a game instead of 17 strikeouts a game on each side, I think that game is far more interesting than a game that goes 2 hours and 47 minutes where nobody puts the bat on the ball.
David's saying the same thing I'm saying, Brady, so why don't you answer it? Because I don't think you have as good of hitters. I don't think you have as good of hitters as you used to have back in the day, like Wade Boggs, Tony Gwynn, those guys.
Contact guys.
Yeah, those guys would hit it to opposite field.
Right.
Opposite of what the shift was.
Well, what has happened now is that back then, not everybody threw 98 miles an hour. When everyone's throwing 90 miles an hour and every batter can hit it, you can put together 3, 4, 5 hits in an inning to score runs station to station.
Can't you make a case that you could hit it opposite field better on a 98-mile-an-hour fastball than some 83-mile-an-hour nasty curve?
Not 98 when it's jammed inside. And so now, with everybody throwing as hard as they do, it becomes a lot tougher to get 4 hits in an inning to score runs. You can get if you get 1 walk and hit a 2-run homer, then that's what teams are looking for.
And the upswing epidemic is so clear in some of the hitters that are leading the leagues in strikeouts this year. I mean, I'm looking at these guys. These are superstar ballplayers.
Yeah.
Giancarlo Stanton is 54 Ks in 37 games. He's the MVP. I mean, guys like Cespedes.
Well, Judge broke the record for consecutive strikeouts last year.
Yeah, he's 5th. Paul Goldschmidt. He's arguably a top 2 or 3 hitter in the National League over the last 5 years.
Yeah.
He's striking out 1 every 2.5 at-bats and with no power this year.
Who didn't strike out, Brady? Who was the best person not to strike out?
Tony Gwynn and Pete Rose.
Gwynn,
Pete Rose, huh?
Tony Gwynn for sure. He never struck out 40 times in a season, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
And Boggs.
Boggs was good.
He'd foul off 18 pitches if he had to.
Yeah, you see, that people used to do that too, Brady. They don't do that. Who was that old-timer, Wee Willie, whoever, that would foul it off?
Wee Willie Keeler?
Was it Keeler that would,
I don't know,
that would foul it off if it wasn't where he liked it?
Willie Wilson?
I don't know what Willie Wilson, that's for sure. All right, hour one in the books.
Willie Nelson?
Yeah, Willie Nelson, I think that's it. Hour one in the books. Brady will have a Sports Center update. We'll get you ready for hour two on this Friday. You're in the huddle right here on
The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady. It's really sort of an addiction. 101.3 ESPN.
good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. Remember, we got Power Play coming up, the new and exciting game, Sweep in the Country. Red Sox tickets on the line, so try to win those when we get the Power Play. Getting a lot on the Town Fair Tire text line. Vince says, Arnie, now that you're back, make sure that Brady works a full show tonight. Brady, I don't want to be a hard ass. Brady, you don't have to work a full show tonight.
Well, you were gone for two weeks, so who are you to tell me to work a full
show? Did you work a full show while I was gone the 2 weeks?
Yes. Many of the days.
Many of the days?
Yep. Yes, because the Red Sox were out in L.A.
and
you playing guys, the Angels.
And you
they
call
played
me
Oakland.
Mean? I was going to give him the time off. I can't believe that, for crying out loud. So, yeah, and Tristan Wilson has an idea for a contest. He said we should do a look-alike contest like the Levitard show. You use either Brady, Arnie, or Rich. You have to have a limited number of entries per host. And we'll see who – is there anybody that out there that looks like me, though? How bad is that?
You're just saying you need to find people that you look like, yeah.
Let's hope not, for their sake.
The answer is still the villain Gru from Despicable Me. That is always the answer. That is the answer of who Arnie looks like.
I thought so I looked like Jerry Cooney, man. What happened?
Yeah, I
can
see
you imagine
that.
Somebody coming up and looking just like me and we have to give them tickets or something? And you're like, oh, my God, that's his twin brother. Or somebody that looks just like you.
You've
had
to endure these looks for your whole life, so here's a prize.
Unbelievable.
Does your brother actually look like you?
No, not at all. He's 6 years younger.
Much better looking.
Hair?
Oh, full head of hair.
Really?
And he weighs like $175, $170. So, yeah, he's really thin. Really, really super thin, too. So,
wow. Like Rich.
Yeah. And he's got, yes.
Soon.
Yeah. But he's a smart ass, so. You know,
oh, that's a shocker.
You can't figure that out.
I hear you guys talking on the phone in the 3 o'clock hour before the show, and I just like, how could anybody get a word in edgewise in that conversation?
I want to punch him in the face. I can't talk to him. He's just so, you know, delusional. It's
he's delusional.
Yeah. That's why I want to punch him in the face sometimes.
Hey, by the way, like Mother's public service announcement, Mother's Day is Sunday.
Yes.
So have you taken care of your wife?
She's not my mother.
You just saw your mom.
Yeah, I saw my mom. I got her something. That's not my mother.
What'd you get her?
I didn't get her anything.
You just, no, your mother.
Oh, we sent her some flowers. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we sent her some flowers.
For you, that's quite a step.
Yes, that is. But do I have to get something for Beth, or do I?
No.
My kid's 20 years old. Yeah, he's 20 years old. He's on his own on that.
She's still the mother of your child.
Right, but it's Mother's Day, not the mother of your child's day.
What if you're divorced? From the mother of your child.
You're good.
Okay.
You're good. You don't have to.
You're safe.
Okay. Yeah, but
you're
I might remind my daughter that it is Mother's Day.
Yes, I would tell her.
I wanted to do something for my wife. I'm like, let me take you out to brunch because I figure I could chow down.
Yeah.
I don't want to eat like that. No, let's do something else.
Well, she's all skinny now.
Are
you implying she wasn't skinny before?
What are you saying?
No, but she's ripped now.
Yeah, she asked me what I wanted for lunch. I just bring me anything. She brought me a salad. I'm like, no. I didn't, when I mean
like eating air.
Yeah, when I'm like, bring me anything, that doesn't mean salad.
Here's a piece of paper to eat.
Yeah.
The same thing as salad.
When I mean anything, that means between a burger and a pizza. That doesn't mean salad, for crying out loud. Unbelievable.
How about you, Brady?
I am going back to Albany this weekend.
Look at you.
See my mom. Aunt's in town. Jess is going too. She's going to see her family. And that's it.
Nothing,
we'll be back on Sunday.
Nothing. That's like a 4.5 hour drive, 5 hour drive?
Three.
No, so that's not that bad. You'll make it pretty quick.
It's not that bad. Get back at probably, I don't know, 11 tonight or probably. And then be back at probably 7 on Sunday.
You going to bring back some of your mom's cookies, chocolate chip cookies, or
yes,
no?
Yes, please.
Maybe, but you didn't get us any gifts from L.A.
No, I didn't. No, I was.
Why do you deserve cookies?
Yeah, maybe I'll have them send something out from Los Angeles. I'll get my brother to send us on. Get you T-shirts or something.
Albany's always a tricky trip because the 22A, man, you get behind a 90-year-old woman on 22A, and you're out of luck for 40 miles.
That's when you pass them in the appropriate passing lanes.
Well, it can be tricky. You'd better be sure.
It can be tricky. Oh. You also end up behind tractors at times.
Yes, 22A can be tricky.
I like when you're trying to get in and they won't let you in and they pull up and there's a red light and they just block you. You know, I'm like, really? Really? You had to do that, ma'am? You had to do that. You had to pull right on up so I couldn't get in. Brady, what do we got coming up? Tell everybody.
Well, mistake of the day still up for grabs.
Yes,
this is your last hour to try to qualify for that 101.3 ESPN baseball cap. Thanks to Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, where they help small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time. kicking off hour two. Celtics-Cavs game one comes up. 3 o'clock, we have the coverage. 3:30, the tip-off on Sunday over on AM 96.
Oh, they are going to play it. It's been so long.
Yeah.
Didn't know they were going to play that game.
Yeah, then they play two games, and they take 4 days off.
Okay, well, a week off. And yeah. Yeah, that's great.
So they're going to play on Sunday, and as we approach game one of this series, what are the things you're most interested in seeing how they play out?
I'm going to get to that. I just want to say 3:30 Eastern for a Sunday, 12:30 on the West Coast. I'm not quite sure that's the optimal time for one game. I think I would have moved it a little bit later on in the day so people can go out and enjoy themselves and then come on back. Maybe like an 8 o'clock East Coast game and a 5 o'clock West time start would have been more appropriate.
They should have put the games on the same day and let Houston and Golden State play on Sunday night.
Right.
You mean have two
games.
But you see what they're trying to do, Sunday, Monday, you know. And
yes, they're trying to control the calendar.
Right. Yeah, you're trying to get that. I'm okay with that. I'm totally okay with that. As for the game, though, I think, look, and somebody brought up a great point. I was listening to somebody yesterday. I can't remember who it was. I want to give him proper credit. But LeBron doesn't lose to teams that don't have superstars, okay? When he loses, it's, you know, to Golden State, you know, to teams like Dallas when they lost to Dirk Nowitzki and the guys. He doesn't lose to teams that are, you know, even though they may be close to the same level, that don't have that big one or two superstars, and the Celtics don't have the big one or two superstars. I think the Cavs are going to win this thing in seven.
Yeah, oh, seven you're going with. All right.
I'm going seven.
I'm going six. I know that's exactly what I just said in the last series, and it's unbelievable that the Celtics are where they are. I just hope whatever game they end up losing the series in is in Boston so they can get a massive standing ovation. I mean, these guys totally deserve it no matter what happens. The problem is, I don't know if it's just the fans' mindset feeling that way. Like, I can't believe we got this far, and now Cleveland's here to just destroy us. But I sure doubt it's the players on the players' minds.
No, they're confident, and I would be too. I think the Celtics are going to win this game in seven. And Arnie, I understand what you're saying about LeBron not losing to superstars, but I think Brad Stevens is a superstar. I think Brad Stevens is a superstar, and I think that he's going to come up with a game plan that is going to win the Celtics this series. And I really do think that it's him. And, you know, and shame on us for devaluing the position of NBA coach. I think a lot of us, and myself maybe more so than anybody, has said, well, it's easy to coach when you've got Jordan and Pippen. It's easy to coach when you've got Shaq and Kobe. It's easy to coach when you've got LeBron, Wade, and Bosh. And maybe that's all true. You could roll the balls out for Steve Kerr, and the Warriors would still be very, very good. But there are really high-level coaches in basketball, and Brad Stevens is at the top of that very short list, along with Greg Popovich, and I think he's going to win them this series. I really do.
You know, Mike Florio, he was filling in for Dan Patrick, asked a question that people were talking about. If you had to pick, if you put all the NBA players and all the NBA coaches together, how many, and you got to pick your team, how many players are you going to pick before you say, you know what, I want to coach? Like, do you understand what I'm saying? Like, you would take a Kevin Durant or Steph Curry or whoever.
Yeah.
How many people would say, you know what, I'll take Brad Stevens? You'd probably take about 30 players before you take a Popovich or a Brad Stevens or something like that.
It's funny how Ainge just figured that out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like Robert Kraft giving up a draft pick for the Jets to get Belichick.
I mean, my point is, though, it's giving a little too much credit to the coaching. I think it's always the player. So, you know, when you say he doesn't lose the suit, Brad Stevens is a superstar, he's a superstar coach, not a superstar player.
Yeah, but I still think there's, look, obviously, Terry Rozier's ability to hit shots is a major thing, okay? Him shooting 42% from three, whereas he was 30% for his career coming into this season. I understand that's a difference. But I also am giving credit to the guy who puts his players in a position where they can be most effective and most utilized and most successful.
I'm so surprised how many people I heard today, and when asked what the key to the series was, saying LeBron James. He's not the key to the series. He's going to get you 37, 12, and 10 every single night. That's what he's going to do. Some games will be 47.
And then what are you going to tell me to shut down everybody else? Like Zach in Bristol just said that. But that, and you're saying the same. But Zach in Bristol said to let LeBron have his points, shut down the other guys, and they'll beat the Cavs. Is that the?
Well, I mean, you know what LeBron's going to give you. That's why he's the GOAT. But I mean, Love and what is Love and all? You know, Love can't give you 7 points and eight rebounds.
But
it's not going to do them any good.
I disagree. I don't think you can give LeBron 38, 42, 44 points because then you will lose. I don't care what everybody else does.
Korver is another key that we haven't talked about. When that guy gets a hot hand from beyond the arc, you have got to suffocate him because he'll kill you.
I think that yesterday I was in line with your thinking, Rich, about let LeBron get his and worry about everybody else. But I really think where the coaching and schematics comes into play here is what the Celtics do on offense. The guys you just named, they're defensive liabilities. Yeah. And if Brett, look, I trust that LeBron, well, he's not going to put out maximum effort defensively. I trust that whoever he's guarding is not going to go off. LeBron is going to play well enough defense to limit whoever he's guarding, whoever that is, whether that's Tatum or Jaylen Brown or somebody else. But if the Celtics can get key offensive players in matchups with Kyle Korver and J.R. Smith, then I'm feeling very, very confident about the Celtics' ability to score. And that was harder to do against Philly because they were long. Milwaukee was long. The Cavs might go very small. They're not as long, and they can expose Korver and especially Smith in some of these pick and rolls and stuff like that.
Is it too late to trade for Stevenson? I'm just, you know, who for Indiana, who's the LeBron stopper. My thing is this, who do you play defense like Stevenson on him, where you get a little cocky? I don't know, you blow in his ear, you get right in his grill, even when the ball's like up in the front court and he's in the back court, you know, stuff to get in the guy's mind, or is that just going to go ahead and make it worse? I don't know. Something like that?
I mean, how did that work out for Indiana?
Went seven, did it not? Did it not go seven?
Yeah, okay. And it worked.
Yeah, it worked there pretty good.
Right. I thought it went six. It went seven.
And they could have pulled that off very easily.
It's hard to believe that was only 2 weeks ago that Indiana was right there and had a chance to eliminate the Cavs.
It was like 2 years ago.
Who's got that attitude for the Celtics that, I mean, will start messing with your mind like that with LeBron?
Well, Marcus Smart does. Now, he's not as big as LeBron. I'm interested to see in how they attack LeBron from what angle here, because over the course of the season, they played Jaylen Brown on him the most, Marcus Morris next, then Semi Ojeleye, then Marcus Smart, then Jason Tatum. I think they're going to throw a rotation of guys at him and force LeBron to not, because LeBron's going to be obviously incredibly good at decoding whoever's guarding him. If you can switch it up and just put a hint of, you know, unfamiliarity in there and just kind of change it up every so often, I think that's the best attack.
That goes to show you that Brad Stevens is not going to let LeBron just get his points and hold on everybody else. He's like, no. I'm not going to let him get 40, 42, 44. I want him. Look, he's going to get 20 or whatever, but I'll hold him to 20. If I hold him to 20 or whatever, 20. You'll win by 20 points.
Yes, you
so
will.
Brad Stevens is like, you know what? Yeah, I'm not going to take that chance. Let him go off and then win. I want to hold him down, and then it affects the rest of the team.
Well, the thing was, his guys did step up in that series against Toronto for the Cavs. I mean, Love had a... LeBron and Love had a 41-31 game, 72 points between the two of them. But Korver stepped up. Tristan Thompson showed up. I mean, if that guy gets going on the boards, he's gonna end up with 15 rebounds. Clarkson and Hood have pretty much disappeared. So, I mean, we're talking about focusing on two or three other guys beyond LeBron.
Well, Glenn brings up a good point. Brady, maybe you could find this. He said the 86 Celtics sent the Bulls packing by letting Jordan go off and shut down the rest of the team. Jordan scored 63. I think I remember that the Bulls would lose the majority of their games when Michael scored over 50, did they not?
Because he felt like he had to completely take over the game to get his team back in it.
And then, didn't get the rest of the guys involved.
No, he'd take 37 shots for his 60 points.
It doesn't seem like letting LeBron go off is the best idea, to be honest with you.
Good luck with stopping that.
Yeah, I got to figure out how that's going to work out for him, but I can't wait for game one. What is it, 2:30? Is that what?
3 o'clock.
Gosh!
Sunday.
Come on. Could you pick
play tonight?
Really? That's a bad time. I don't like that at all. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Giancarlo Stanton, an interesting article you sent me. Could he ever justify his contract in New York?
Doubtful. We'll get to that. You are in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Sports Saturday. The huddle is back. I'm sure you missed us. 101.3 ESPN.
Let's go.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. Remember, coming up in about 15, 20 minutes from now, Power Play, the new and exciting game, sweeping the country. We got Red Sox tickets on the line, so we'll see if we can get a winner right off the bat.
And speaking of Red Sox tickets, our Ultimate Fenway Fan Experience qualifier. Final one of the first week, Jim Martin from Milton. He was caller 5, and he knew Rafael Devers was the right answer.
Jim Martin.
You know why he knew that? Because he has been listening all day.
Nice.
So, here's what happens. Remember, the Ultimate Fenway Fan Experience, Rich, Monday morning. You're going to come on the air at 7 a.m. in the morning.
Ugh,
you're going to come
that's
on.
That's really early.
Yeah, you're going to come on at 7 a.m., have the player of the day, and then when you hear that cue to call throughout the day, you'll be asked who is the player of the day. If you know that player of the day, you get a chance to qualify for the Ultimate Fenway Fan Experience. Box seats to June 5th against the Tigers, hotel in Boston, on field for batting practice, exclusive tour of Fenway Park. So very, very cool.
All right. Brady, what did you want to say about Stanton? I know I sent you that article. It was talking about, it was from Forbes magazine, right?
Yeah.
talking about his state never going to be worth, the article said $325 million, but his contract was $265
or something. He signed a $325 million deal with the Marlins. They have already paid him certain amounts of money, and they did take on a little bit of his contract. So the Yankees are on the hook for $265
million. Okay. So
the answer is, could Giancarlo Stanton ever do enough in New York to justify that money? And we want to hear from fans on this. What does Stanton need to bring to the Yankees in order to justify that deal? If they win the title this year and then not again for the rest, has it been justified because they won one title?
Right, and this is a tricky one. I was thinking about this because what if, I mean, he's off to a fairly good power start, but he's been hitting between 220 and 240. I know it's early, but what if he hits 240 and hits 28 home runs, drives in 75 runs, and they win the World Series? Did he just earn that deal?
You guys are just talking stats. Is that what this is about?
No, that's what I'm making it about.
Well, because when you're making $325 million, like when I was picking on Price for making over $200 million, it's more than just stats. You can't be a cancer in the locker room or the clubhouse. You got to be a likable guy. Stanton's not a likable guy. He's not a popular. You want to know why I know that?
He's not a bad guy.
He's not a popular guy in baseball. Matter of fact, is he not one of the best hitters in baseball? I don't think last year he was one of the top 20 jersey sales. I mean, there's guys I never even heard of that sell more jerseys than him. Why aren't people buying his jersey? When you're making $325 million, yeah, you need stats, but you got to be the ambassador to baseball, the ambassador to the Yankees. People got to be buying your jersey. You can't be coming in under the radar.
Well, when you talk about why didn't people in Miami buy his jersey, when your home market is disenfranchised with the franchise and has sour grapes, they're not going to just buy Marlins products in general. So I understand that when your home market doesn't like your team because of the owner.
This year
he could be, and I got to imagine he will be because there's a new jersey out there to buy. But nonetheless, I think you're right also, Rich. I think he's got to have stats, and he's got to produce for 8 years left on this deal, 10 years left on this deal, something like that. He's got to produce at his NL MVP caliber level, I would say, for probably 6 to 8 of those years. He's got to be really good.
And A-Rod, I mean, look at him. Was his Yankee reign a great one? He did win a World Series with him, and for once, he produced in the postseason that year.
And I think that's a very interesting point because Yankee fans grew upset with CC Sabathia's deal when now he's reinvented himself, but he was horrible for 2014 to 2016. He was hurt. He was under 500. I think he was like 18 and 26 for those 3 years and injured. People didn't like his deal. People didn't like AJ Burnett's deal. People grew tired of Teixeira. People grew tired of A-Rod. All those guys helped them win a World Series. So if Stanton wins one World Series at least, I don't know that justifies it to Yankee fans.
But
I think,
what if he has an MVP season and they win a World Series? Does that change it?
If it's one great year where all of that happens, then no. If the Yankees win the World Series this year or next year and Stan's a huge part of it, no, I don't think people are going to look at him and say, okay, instantly worth it. Arnie, I think your standpoint is well taken from the Yankees' perspective.
Right. That's why I want if Judge was making the same amount of money, $325 million, I'd say yes, he could definitely live up to that.
If from Brian Cashman's perspective and from the Yankees' marketability standpoint, they want the guy that puts up on the field and is a face of baseball and is marketable and is helping them with ticket sales bring in jerseys and revenue. I don't think we fans think that way. We fans are like, okay, how many titles did they win? I think titles is what justifies it to fans.
Right. And it's interesting because I saw all three games over this week at Yankee Stadium, and you're right, though. There was no number 27s in that crowd. Granted, Aaron Judge has had basically a year head start, but everybody was wearing a 99.
Only a year head start on the Yankees, though. It wasn't like Stanton was a nobody when he came over to the Yankees.
No, but I'm saying 27 in pinstripes. It's not like that existed until a couple of months ago. But my point being,
he's not even in the top three in the Yankees this year.
But my point being that I agree with you to a point about Stanton. You just don't see him smiling and laughing and having a good. Looks like he's having any fun. Maybe it's because he's hitting 230 or whatever he's hitting. But Judge is the opposite of that. He's always smiling. He just seems like he's having a heck of a time. And, oh, yeah, he's pulverizing the ball.
Well, and he goes on those shows and stuff. You know, go on with Jimmy Fallon and those guys. And that's what you're talking about.
Yes,
You need a marketable superstar in every facet of the word. I think most fans look at it and say, I don't care what you do as long as you produce and you help us get to October.
Judge will sell more jerseys. Sanchez, Didi. Sanchez was in the top 15 last year in all of baseball. Is that crazy or what?
It is. Yeah. I mean, he's hitting 202.
Yeah. So, I mean, think about that. So, you weren't even, not even in the top three on his own. Who else am I missing on that team? Maybe CeCe Sabathia.
No, not anymore.
Well, Gardner, maybe, but he's.
So, I mean, he's probably maybe third or fourth on his own team.
Torres. People are going to get on the Torres bandwagon.
So, I mean, there's really something about him. It's like standoffish. I'm not sure exactly what it is. Maybe it's wrong for me to say he's like standoffish.
He's just generic. You know, he just doesn't. He's a little robotic to me, Stanton. I mean, his Judge is definitely not. He's got that crazy smile, and he, like you said, he's on all the talk shows. And I mean, he's a media darling. He knows the right thing to say. He looks good.
Yeah, but there's
and he
a lot of guys standoffish that people. Clayton Kershaw is a little, you know, standoffish. Doesn't say a whole heck of a lot. I mean, he seems like a nice guy, but he's just. And he's injured, and he's in the top five in jersey sales. People love that guy.
Well, and Arnie, you would have given big money to Manny Ramirez and David Ortiz, but are you not going to give big money to Chris Sale? Now, you could. I know you don't want to get pitchers and age, and you don't want to get burned and all that, but Chris Sale's not a, quote, likable guy.
No, he's not a likable guy.
And how many 41 jerseys do you see at Fenway? Yeah. I don't see any.
Yeah, I'm not going to break the bank for him, no. No, I said that before.
So would you? Here's my question for you, then. Would you give bigger money to a lesser player that has a better personality than a better player that doesn't do a lot of that other stuff?
I mean, if I'm picking between Judge and Stanton, and I could only have one, Stanton's off the team. I don't even want to see your face again. I'm just going to go with Judge.
Because we can't say that Judge is a lesser player than Stanton at this point. Would you give the big deal to a lesser player, but who's willing to be more marketable and willing to do some
of
that
stuff?
Is
DD a lesser player? Would you say DD's a lesser player?
Yes.
Okay, I would say yes. I'd give it to DD before I would get it.
So you would this, if you could give one $200 million contract to either of them, you'd give it to DD.
I would give it to DD. Yes. Yeah. Wow. I mean, I guess I have to give yes. I would. Why you wouldn't?
He's in like one of those 0-for-25 deals right now, so he's completely stopped hitting. But
I'm not going.
But if you're giving him a $300 million deal, you got to be careful there. I mean, they were talking MVP for a little while, but he's faded.
Here's the other thing, Arnie. I'm saying this: Manny Machado is going to be a free agent at the end of the year. He's going to command huge money wherever he goes. You not giving him that money because you don't see him on the late-night talk show circuit?
It's not about the talk show circuit. I'm not giving him the money, period.
What about Bryce Harper?
Bryce Harper, I'm giving the money. Bryce Harper, and he's a curmudgeon, right?
Yeah.
He's not a likable guy. I'll give it to him.
Are you giving it to him because of his playing ability, or are you giving it to him because he does shampoo commercials?
No, I'm giving it to him because he's a playing ability, but I'm also giving it to him because he's a spark in the dugout. Yeah. You know what I mean? He gets the other guys going, and he's aggressive, and I like that attitude.
He's got an attitude. He's got a look.
He gives you an attitude that I don't hear from Stanton.
The hair's flying. I mean, people like that stuff.
He even talks back to the commissioner. I eat that stuff up.
I love when I find ways to prove that Arnie's hypocritical.
Oh, I thought I was right on that.
Maybe we should have a contest there.
I love proving when you're hypocritical.
Really? I thought I was right.
Odell Beckham Jr.,
yeah.
I don't care. Get the hell off the team.
Yes.
I don't need your attitude.
Yes.
Oh, but Odell Beckham Jr. is in commercials, and he's willing to eat up New York lifestyle.
Yes.
He's productive on the field.
But it's not all one way or the other. It's not all going to be black. Some guys I'll take with a bad attitude. Some I won't take, and a lot of them I won't take. And Odell Beckham is one of them. I don't like that guy. So
you want these guys to be
marketable. Bryce Harper is one of the few not likable guys that I will sign, to be honest.
He's also hitting 227, to let you know.
I'm going to take the chance that he's going to pick that up a little bit. How about that? Huh?
I don't mean to be throwing stats, but that's our point of what we were talking about last hour, how everybody's swinging for the fences. You hear all these names. They're all hitting, Stanton, Harper hitting 227. Goldschmidt's hitting like 190. I mean, these are big-time 300-plus hitters.
Making a hell of a lot of money.
Interesting, too, on Stanton. He did a lengthy interview with Mark Carrig of The Athletic, and he was talking about how different it is playing in New York versus Miami. He's like, I've played more meaningful baseball in April than I've ever played in my entire career. Yeah. And I think Stanton is in a lucky position because he's in a position, Rich, where this Yankee team is so young and has so many other young, exciting pieces around him. Stanton doesn't have to carry the load. And I don't think the fans are getting on him because he's not needed, right? Not that he's not needed at all, but with Judge there and Didi there, and now Torres is there and playing well, you've got young, exciting future pieces. You've got Judge there and already established. I think Stanton has been given some time to kind of ease into this. Now, those 2-5 strikeout games being booed aside, I think Yankee fans have been pretty patient with him.
But those 2-5 strikeout games were at a time when the Yankees were at 500, and they were struggling out of the gate. Now, all of a sudden, they're 17-2
or
whatever, and they're right back in it.
Yes, they did boo him.
Winning cures everything.
They did boo him. Remember the Yankee fan? But they like to boo and have fun anyway. What the hell? You know, that's the way they are.
Well, you heard him. Joe Kelly came into the two games in that series.
Brady, real quick, did you want to mention anything about the Patriots releasing Antonio Garcia?
Talk about it in Champlain Valley game.
We'll get that in Champlain Valley game night. Coming up next, though, Power Play.
Yeah.
The new and exciting game, Sweep of the Country. We're going to start early because we have Red Sox tickets to give away. The three possible answers, of course, with the Cavaliers and the Celtics playing. Kevin Love, Al Horford, or both. Love, Horford, or both. We did dumb it down because we have Red Sox tickets to give away. We want to give away the tickets. So hopefully we're not going to go through like a million calls. Why aren't the phone lines ringing like crazy right now? 802-655.
That's because I busied them.
It's well,
I wasn't going to tell anybody. 802-655-6672. 802-655-6672. Power Play, the new and exciting game, Sweep of the Country. Coming up next, you're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Sports Saturday with... Back to the huddle, where you can give us your take at 802-655-6672. Providing Arnie shuts up long enough to let you get a sentence in. 101.3 ESPN.
Maybe I didn't make myself clear. We had Red Sox tickets to give away.
Box seats.
We hung up on one person, and one person hung up on us. We have lines open. Red Sox tickets on the line, box seats, or we just won't give them away and we'll keep the tickets. Sure. 802.
May 16th, that's next Wednesday, so we could just skip work.
Wow.
And it's against Oakland, which means all those ex-Lake Monster players are playing at Fenway Park.
802-655-6672. 802-655-6672. If you want to get in the play, Power Play, the new and exciting game, Sweep of the Country, winner will get Red Sox tickets. So get in now.
Yeah, see, what you know what they're doing. They're all playing.
Yes, I know. They're
being sly here and letting all these sacrificial first callers take care of things.
Brady, what did Jim from New York just send in?
I don't know. He's saying that you said we talk about it on CBGN, and he doesn't think that I'm doing CBGN, but I am for 15 minutes.
That's two mistakes the listeners have made today on us. We should charge them to make...
Well, yeah, let's turn the tables and have send our
us
own contest.
Something. Send us a hat or a t-shirt. Send us one of your clothing. How about that?
I want a t-shirt from Moores Forks, New York, which is where Jim is from.
Exactly.
That's a town we've all been through many times, right?
All right. Yeah. Let me tell you how we play Power. Do we have callers or are we on the line?
Yeah, it's all.
All right, let me tell you how we play the game. We ask you a question. You get that question wrong, you'll hear this. And we move on. If you come on, they go, wait a minute, you're going too fast, you'll hear this. And we'll move on. If you come on there and go, wait a minute, you guys botch question four. You're probably right. We don't care. You'll still hear this. And we'll move on. If you get a question right, we'll ask you another. If you get all 10 questions right, you will get Red Sox tickets against the A's on Wednesday.
Box seats. Yep.
How better than that,
right? Right behind the third base dugout.
Wow. Unbelievable. The three possible answers, Kevin Love, Al Horford, or both. Kevin Love, Al Horford, or both. So, Brady, if I said to you, this guy plays for the Cavaliers, you would say?
Kevin Love.
Oh, you're so good. You've never missed a question in almost 2 years.
Amazing.
If I said to you, this guy plays for the Celtics, you would say?
Al Horford.
Damn.
Thank you.
Damn, you're so good. Why do people have so much trouble with this game?
Brady,
if I said to you, this guy will play on Sunday, you would say?
That'd be both.
Yes, that's how easy it is.
As of now.
Love, Horford, or both? Love, Horford, or both? Love, Horford, or both? Is it that tough? I mean, really, is it that tough?
It sounds really easy.
Question nine is, has four letters in his last name. I mean, it's not that tough. And that's one of the hard questions.
The city of brotherly blank. I mean, how hard can this be?
Love, Horford, or both? So, without further ado, it is time for Power Play. All right, Brady, who's first up?
Craig in Essex.
Craig in Essex. Craig, are you ready for Power Play?
Let's do this, Arnie.
All right. What are the three possible answers, Craig?
Love, Horford, or both.
Okay. Confidence level, very high.
Yes.
I feel good about this
one. And he knew your name.
Yes, he did. It should be a 10 out of a 10. Here we go. Won a national title in college.
Al Horford.
Was a first-team All-American in college.
Both.
All right, off and running. That opens up a line. 802-655-6672, 655-6672. Remember, Red Sox tickets are on the line, so you're going to have to work a little bit this time. Brady, who do we got next?
Rebecca in Richmond.
Ah, Rebecca, are you ready for Power Play?
Yes, sir.
What are the three answers, Rebecca?
Wow.
It's Love, Horford, or both.
Oh, confidence level through the roof.
That's because she called you sir.
Yes, I like that. Here we go. Won a national title in college.
Love.
The guy before her just got it.
Yes, I know that. We know that.
She chose love.
Yes, and she was on hold. And the funny part is she was on hold when the guy ahead of her went on. Right. So it wasn't like, oh, I was calling in. I didn't hear the guy in front of me. We gave you that. The question one answers Horford. We gave you that one.
That is the answer to question one. Of course, now you know what he'll do. He'll make it question two.
That was a give me.
Dustin.
Dustin, are you ready for power play? Confidence level very low right now.
Dustin.
Dustin.
Yeah.
Oh.
How many Dustins do you think I'm talking to?
Sorry. I'm loud here.
Okay. What are the three possible?
Horford and both.
Oh, confidence level is like zero.
It's like me on CNN. The guy talking
zero,
over
zero. Totally. Like, all right, here we go. Wow. He's giving at it. I love
this. Hurry up, Artie. Yeah.
Won a national title in college.
Horford.
Was a first-team All-American in college.
Love.
Was drafted top five in the NBA draft.
Horford.
Oh.
Yeah, I knew he wasn't going to get that
Horford
one right.
Horford is the incorrect answer.
Yeah, I knew he wasn't going to get that one right at all.
All right, so two down, eight to go.
Yeah, good luck on that.
Alex and Milton.
Who?
Alex and Milton.
Alex and Milton. Alex, are you ready for power play?
Yes, I am.
What are the three possible answers, Alex?
Love, Horford, or both?
I don't know. Confidence level's still not there.
I like Alex.
Come on, he's got a great phone line. That's the first. Yeah. First tonight.
Won a national title in college.
Horford.
Was a first-team All-American in college.
Love.
Was drafted top five in the NBA draft.
Love.
Didn't they guess Love last one, too?
People on hold aren't listening, apparently.
No, when you're on hold, I know you can hear the show. I know you can hear it. 802-655-6672. 802-655-6672.
Scott in Burlington.
Scott in Burlington. Scott, are you ready for power play?
I am.
What are the three answers, Scott?
Horford, Love, or both.
All right, I feel a little bit better. A little bit. Won a national title in college.
Horford.
Was a first-team All-American in college.
Love.
He had to take that long? Was drafted top five in the NBA draft.
Horford.
Okay, I'm
going
to give a hint now on number three. It's not Horford. Let me how I put this without giving it away. It's not Horford and it's not Love. I don't want to give it away, though. I don't want to give it away.
Mike in Essex.
Mike.
But it is a four-letter word.
Yes. Mike in Essex. Mike, are you ready for power play?
I am ready. Getting gas, but I'm ready.
All right. What are the three answers, Mike?
Love, Horford, or both.
Oh, no. He forgot.
I thought he was going to say neither.
I don't think. Confidence level not very high right now. Won a national title in college.
Horford.
Was a first-team All-American in college.
Love.
Was drafted top five in the NBA draft.
I think it might be both.
Oh, look at
good
that.
Listener.
I didn't think he was going to get that. His father played in the NBA.
Horford.
Was once named NBA's most improved player.
Love.
Nice.
Is a five-time All-Star.
Horford.
Okay, you got
that's a tough one,
but yep. Right, now you got five of the answers, people.
You're halfway home, boys and
Arnie,
girls.
Yes.
Number six, I wrote the wrong answer. I know what it is, but I wrote the wrong answer. It's the other one.
Oh, okay, let's cross that out.
So just know that.
I don't know what the other one, what is it? There's three answers.
Yeah, it's...
Well, just give it to me.
I'm not telling you. Okay. Number six is Horford.
He gives us a sign
there you go.
As a basketball player shooting. Yeah. Well, that narrows it down.
I'm like, well, who the hell is that supposed to be?
Oh, Wayne Gretzky.
All right. who do we have next?
John in Burlington.
John in Burlington. John, are you ready for power play?
I'm ready.
What are the three answers, John?
Horford, Love, or both.
Oh, confidence level really high for him.
There you go.
I feel good about that. Won a national title in college.
Horford.
Was a first-team All-American in college.
Love.
Was drafted top five in the NBA draft.
Both.
His father played in the NBA.
Horford.
Was once named NBA's most improved player.
Love.
Is a five-time All-Star.
Both.
Correct.
Oh, it is both. You had that right.
The next one I had wrong.
Okay.
Now I'm really confused. Went to high school in Michigan.
Horford.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, now I'm getting it right. So he's got question eight. Has played in the Olympics.
Love.
Nice.
Question nine. Had a longer college career.
Horford.
He's totally guessing now. Last question. Was drafted by a team different than the one they play for now.
Love.
That was so easy. I hit the buzzer by mistake.
This is like the guy for Philadelphia hitting the two-pointer and everybody thought it was three and the confetti come falling out.
That was the easiest question in the history of power play.
And the winner of Miss Universe is
John and
Miss
Burley.
Malaysia. Oh, wait a minute.
That's what I was thinking.
Hit the buzzer there because I was so that was the easiest question of all. I made the last question easy.
Very easy.
Wow. So now you know all the answers.
Oh. All right. So this guy has got it set up on a silver platter. His next caller.
Do we have another one for the Red Sox tickets?
Brett in Lake George, New York.
Oh my gosh, you have got it made, Brett.
Brett, are you ready for power play?
I'm ready.
What are the three possible answers?
Horford, Love, or both.
Here we go. Was a first-team All-American in college.
Horford.
No, I mixed it up.
Oh, you're awful.
Was that bad?
How do you sleep at
night? I just mixed up one. He wasn't listening to the question. I mean, come on now.
That's that.
Gwen and Mugden said, mistake of the day, Brady gave the answer to number 7.
Because Brady had written it wrong.
Right, do we have time for one more? We're trying to get more calls. So 802.
Bill in Colchester.
Bill in Colchester. We've taken way too many calls now. Bill, are you ready for power play?
Give it a try.
What are the three answers, Bill?
Love, Horford, or both.
Was drafted top 5 in the NBA draft?
Both.
Nice.
Won a national title in college?
Horford.
His father played in the NBA?
Horford.
Was a first-team All-American in college? He forgot the other answer. He forgot Kevin Love. He was trying to think of the other player.
Well, he can't read his own writing. He's writing these down.
Oh, you can tell. You can totally tell on
John
that.
In Jeffersonville.
This might be the last one. John in Jeffersonville. Are you ready for power play?
I'm ready.
What are the three answers, John?
It is Love, Horford, or both.
Was a first-team All-American in college?
Both.
No.
What? Did he say both?
Yes.
Arnie, we got to get a winner. We got to get a winner.
We got to get a winner.
I'll take another call if someone will win.
All right, we got to get a winner.
We got to get a winner.
Maybe you can play power play on the Champlain Valley game.
I usually want people to lose, but we've got Red Sox tickets. I want somebody to enjoy them.
Maybe I should just give it to the first person that gets one right.
I'll take them. Yeah, we got anything right.
We got Dave.
Dave, are you ready?
Yes.
Won a national title in college.
Horford.
Was a first-team All-American in college.
Love.
Was drafted top 5 in the NBA draft.
Both.
His father played in the NBA.
Horford.
Was once named NBA's most improved player.
Love.
Is a 5-time All-Star.
Both.
Went to high school in Michigan.
Horford.
Has played in the Olympics.
Love.
Had a longer college career.
Horford.
Last question. Was drafted by a team different than the one they play for now.
Both.
Yes, sir.
Mike, was it that tough? Was it that tough? Was it that tough?
Not at all.
When he's the 50th.
Especially when the people in front of you get the first 9.
Is this Big Dave who never plays Arnie in basketball?
Yes, it is.
Well, you don't get the tickets now. You don't get them now.
I want Rich to have them.
Oh, yeah. Put him on hold.
Dave, we'll put you on hold.
We'll get you all the information. Let me go through the answers. Won a national title in college. That's Horford. was a first team. He went to what?
UCLA.
Horford?
Horford went
Kevin
to Florida.
Florida.
Was a first team. The answer was Horford.
Yeah, was a first team All-American in college, Kevin Love. Love.
Oh, first team in All-American. Okay, I'm dealing with the phone calls. Won a national title was Horford at Florida. First team All-American was Love at UCLA.
Was drafted top five in the NBA draft, that's both.
Yes, Love was five, Horford was three.
Wow. His father once played in the NBA, Tito Horford.
Tito!
Yeah.
Was once named NBA Most Improved Player, that's Kevin Love. Five-time All-Star, both. Went to high school in Michigan.
Horford.
Has played in the Olympics, was an easy one, Kevin Love. Had a longer college career, Horford, because they all came back to win the second championship.
Yeah, right? He was there, I think, 3 years, and Love was only there, I thought, one or two, but it was definitely longer for Horford. I think Love was only one.
Was drafted by a different team than the one they play for now. That's both of them.
Yeah, Kevin Love was drafted by Memphis, though. I don't know how many people know that.
Oh, was it trade day? Trade on the draft day or something?
Something like that.
All right, we'll get last story standing as we wrap up the entire week. That's coming up next. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
It's time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for last story standing on the huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, we got to have the mistake of the day winner for the week, and that's going to be Keith in South Burlington. Keith in South Burlington, you win. Thanks to our friends over at Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniform in Colchester, helping small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time. We'll send them a 101.3 hat, yep. So certainly enjoy that one. And what'd you get for last story standing, Brady?
This is great. So a lot of people are using the Amazon Echo, the Echo Dots.
Yeah.
And as a result of that becoming so popular, people don't want to say the name. I'm sorry, I'm going to do it if you have one, but people don't want to say the name Alexa more than they have to.
Oh, there she goes.
So the name Alexa in 2017 dropped 74%.
Wow.
Nobody will name their child Alexa anymore because, hey, Alexa, come here. And then, you know, you'll end up. Your Alexa will come back to you.
Right.
Like, we have an Alexa. So
need a helping hand.
Yeah. There she is. That's so amazing to me. The minute you said Alexa, there went the light.
Alexa, do your chores.
Sorry, I'm not sure.
Yes.
That would probably be her answer, especially as a teenager.
So 74% drop rate in the name Alexa.
Wow.
All right, I love it. All right, good week, guys. Quick week. Unbelievable.
Well, for you, it was a quick week.
Yeah, for me, it was a quick week. I was in L.A. and flew all over the place, but we're back to the grind of it. Champlain Valley game night coming up next for Brady, for Rich, for Arnie. Well, you're listening to 101.3 ESPN.
And in the huddle, I'm in Antonio Garcia and what it might mean for the Pats coming up here in 2018 and hopefully 2019. This SportsCenter update brought to you by Blodgett. The Blodgett Oven Company is moving to Essex and they're hiring some manufacturing positions as much as $16.25 an hour. You can apply online at blodgett.com/careers. It's a great place to work. Champlain Valley Game Night on a Friday is now on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com, and we're always streaming, so take us anywhere, the 101.3 ESPN app.